Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Hey, we're in a series called Giants, and it's my privilege to talk today about the third battlefield. What we've been looking at is the idea that there were real giants in the Bible, and they were real, and they were really big. And God's people interacted and fought those giants. In fact, oftentimes, before God's people could get to the promised land, they had to overcome giant land. But what we're looking at here is most of us know about Goliath, and he's probably the most famous giant in the Bible, but Goliath had brothers. And we're looking at the different brothers of Goliath who were killed by God's people, the Israelites, and the different battlefields. And in the Hebrew language, there's something powerful when you look at the names of places or people. And oftentimes, I think they have prophetic realities or symbolism or for us as Christ followers today. And we're going to look today at what I would call Battlefield 3.0, the place of broken relationships. Because if you go to 2 Chronicles, and hopefully it's also in your worship guide here. Hopefully you grabbed a worship guide. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4, it says this. In the course of time, war broke out with the Philistines at Gezer. Say Gezer. Look at your husband and say, you're an old geezer. No, don't do that. Some of you are like, no, that's way too early. We've been married. A war broke out at a place called Gezer. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushnite, killed Zippai, one of the descendants of the Rephahites, or the Rephahim, the giants, and the Philistines were subjugated. And we've been looking at the battlefields where giants are killed, and I believe they're the battlefields we face giants today. That word Gezer means this. It means a piece or a portion or the place of being cut off. Has anyone here ever had a broken relationship? Anyone here ever felt like you were cut off? If I could use the word, a relational amputation. In fact, I had a pastor once that said divorce is another word for tears. Divorce is also like Siamese twins. The separation has happened, but there's scars there for life. Today I want to talk about this place called Gezer. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that God wants us to have a soft heart and tough skin, so when difficult things happen with people, our skin protects our heart. But here's what sometimes happens. We have soft skin, so our heart gets hard. Today I want to talk about this place called Gezer. It represents a place of loss or a loss of connection, maybe emotionally disconnected, or family is severed and there's a pulling apart or dismembered or relationally splintered, divorce, abandonment, neglect, or maybe there's just severed relationships. And I don't know about you, I'm convinced every one of us in this room fights on the old battlefield called Gezer. And there's giants. I'm convinced every one of us in here struggles at different times in this area of relationships. Snoopy said it this way, life would be great if it wasn't for people. I forget who said it, but they said people are a lot like porcupines, a lot of fine points, but sometimes they're pretty tough to hug. There's some pain. There's some hurt. And the big idea of this message today is one of the battlefields where we'll face giants is Gezer. And Gezer represents the place of broken relationships. Here's the fact. The world is filled with broken relationships. I think if we sat down with each and every one of us, we probably could name one or two broken relationships or regrets, or we could sit and go, I wish we could have pivoted and done something different there. You see, if you're not hurt today, you will be hurt in life by other people, by what they think, what they say, or what they do. And I don't know if that represents any of us in here besides me, but you'll be hurt by what they say, think, or do sometime. And I love what Paul says, and this is the verse I want to focus in on and kind of put our microscope of our eyes on today. But microscope, not microscope. Wow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says it this way: God has done all this. He's restored our relationship with Him through Christ. How many of you guys are glad that there was a broken relationship we had with God when we sinned, but God has restored that relationship? How many are thankful for that? That's the most important relationship you'll ever have in life, is the one you have with Jesus. I say it this way: you leave here today, you forget who I am or the church is, you haven't lost a whole lot, but if you leave here today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. God has done everything to restore a relationship with Him. And then it says this: and He's given us this ministry of restoring relationships. Different version says it this way: He's given this ministry of reconciliation. But what does that mean? Reconciling, bringing things back into account, restoring relationships is what it means. Many of us carry deep, painful wounds from our past. Those memories still they might cause you to wince today. Talking about broken relationship, you're like, oh great, not the day to come to church. He could have spoke on tithing, that would have been better. But friends, if you want God's best for your life, you've got to learn how to let it go. I'm not going to do the let it go dance from that movie, Let It Go, Let It Go. I'm not going to do that from Frozen, okay? But some of us have frozen relationships. Some of us have become spiritually old geezers. We've let geezer define our life too long, that place of broken relationships. And I'm convinced God does not want our lives to be defined by geezer, but by grace. God wants something. And so I think there's the only way we can find the cure from geezer, the battlefield of broken relationships is and painful memories, is offering forgiveness. So this morning, I want to look at this idea of forgiveness. And guys, I've got lots of notes today, so forgive me. There might not be as many illustrations as things like that. And we might not laugh as much as I might like to have people laugh. But I believe this: broken relationships are no laughing matter. And so let's equip, let's find tools to deal with hurt. So there's some misconceptions. I want to start talking about some misconceptions about forgiveness. Forgiveness, number one, is not. What is forgiveness not? Forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. You know, I was in my house the other day. I've been in my house more than just the other day. And I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee. This would have been probably on a Saturday morning or Friday morning early. And my son Fulton is 5 and a half. And he walks up to my daughter. I mean, not provoked or anything. Now, I understand if there's a provoke. But my son, my wife is sitting on the couch. Peyton, my 9-year-old, sitting right there. And Fulton walks up to her. We're sitting there, and he kicks her. And we're like, that, my kid's been in the kids' ministry too long. Her learning the bad habits. No, just kidding. It's never the kids' pastor's fault if your kids are misbehaving. Okay, all right. So what did Fulton learn real quick? That you don't ever hit a girl in our house. You don't ever hit any girl. That's just wrong. And I pulled him in, and I talked to him and helped them understand what was appropriate. That's not the stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that have been kicked in the gut real hard in relationships that have gone sour, and it hurts still. And sometimes we think, well, is forgiveness, is pastor telling me to forget what happened? No. Is pastor wanting to minimize what happened? No. If there was an abusive situation that happened, don't you dare minimize what happened. Forgiveness is not minimizing what happened. When you minimize what was done wrong, you cheapen forgiveness. Don't minimize it. You forgive them, but you never minimize what happened. It happened. It was real. And there's some painful memories that exist in here. Don't minimize it. Secondly, forgiveness is not instant restoration of trust. Forgiveness is instant, friends. Trust is a process. If I was going somewhere and someone opened the door for me and then they slammed the door and my hand was in the way and my hand got slammed by the door, I would forgive that person for slamming my hand in the door. I would instantly forgive them, but I would not instantly trust them to open the door again for me for a while. Right? Some of you, maybe alcoholism is in your home, and you know someone that that's asked the husband or the spouse, the wife, to leave because of alcoholism. Forgiveness is not saying, yeah, you said you're sorry, move back in. It's not instant. It's not a restoration of trust. If someone wrongs you repeatedly over and over, you're obligated to forgive that person, but you're not obligated to immediately trust that person again. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. The third truth or misunderstanding regarding forgiveness that sometimes we have is forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. Forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. In other words, forgiveness is not the same as reunion of relationship. Okay? I said, I'm sorry, it's over. Well, it doesn't. You don't pick up where you left off at times. It takes time. And it does. You see, here's the reality. Forgiveness doesn't mean you'll restore the relationship. Forgiveness means you're right in the area of the relationship between God and you. You may never be best friends with the person again. Now, ultimately, we'd love God to restore every relationship and have best friends. But see, forgiveness is what you do regardless of their response. Forgiveness is what you do regardless of their response. See, some of you have been hurt bad by someone you loved. And you thought of, the thought of offering forgiveness is unthinkable. But friends, forgiveness is what you do. Forgiveness is not the reunion of a relationship. The fact is, you may never be back together with that person. You may never be buddy-buddy. You may never trust them with deep depths of intimacy or trust or what vulnerability until trust is earned back. So today, I want to talk about two questions. Why should I let go of my hurt? And number two, how do I let go of my hurt? Why shall I let go of my hurt in my life? And secondly, how do I let go of my hurt in my life? And so I want to let's spend some time talking about this first question. Why should I let go of my hurt? Why should I let go of my hurt? Because number one, the first reason I should let go of my hurt is because God has forgiven me. How many are thankful you've been forgiven? The first reason we let go of our hurt, and we let go of the giant on the battlefield of Gezer, the place of being cut off and hurt, relational amputation, we've been separated, there's been a breach of confidence, a breach of relationship, is because God's forgiven us. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as. So, Paul is saying, you forgive just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's the pattern. That's the model. See, maybe you've, have you ever thought this fact? I'm going to ask a question. Have you ever thought, I'll never have to forgive anyone more than God has had to forgive me? Look at me. Nobody in here will ever have to forgive one individual more than God has forgiven you as an individual. You know, there's an old song we used to sing. How many of you guys remember the old song? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. And I would sing it for you, but I listened to the live stream last week and realized I probably should never sing on live stream. There's some poor folks going, okay, I don't see that voice, but that voice should not be on the worship team. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Friend, stop. The moment you say, I don't think I can forgive them, we have to step back and go, wait a second here. God is simply saying, would you forgive them just like I have forgiven you? There's no way you could earn my trust back. But I forgave you, and I began to breach that. See, one of the reasons so many of us have a hard time forgiving is we've never felt forgiven. We need to remind ourselves how forgiven we are. How far we've come. How much God has forgiven us. I don't know about you. We should be the most thankful, grace-filled people on the planet because God forgave us so much. So I don't know if you understand. There's no way to heaven without someone named Jesus forgiving us for all the stuff that we've done, thought, acted, believed in. All God has forgiven us, put his grace upon us. That's why we forgive. The second reason we should let go of hurt and unforgiveness is because, number two, because resentment doesn't work. You know, when you go to AA, they say it works if you work it. But let me tell you something, it doesn't work if you work resentment. It doesn't work. Let's walk through this for a second. What's resentment? Number one, the first thing I know about resentment, it's unreasonable. It doesn't make, for you to think your life will get better through a grudge. Resentment won't correct the problem. Resentment doesn't make the pain go away. It doesn't make you feel better. I love what the author of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 9 says. It's foolish to harbor a grudge. It's unreasonable. The second reason resentment doesn't work is it's unhelpful. It always hurts you more. The most unhappy people on this earth are bitter people. Am I right? You ever been around someone? They nurse it. They curse it. They rehearse it. And you're like, you're never going to get better till you let God reverse it. You ever met bitter? It's bitter people. They're not fun to hang out with. And so resentment and unforgiveness is like swallowing poison, hoping the other person dies. It's unhelpful. It doesn't work. And lastly, resentment, it's unhealthy. It has physical and emotional consequences. You typically, very bitter people end up being very sick at the end of their life. It eats them. In fact, I heard someone say, it's not what you eat, it's what eats you. It's not what you eat, it's what eats you. I think of Mark chapter 6, where Herodias married Herod. Now, that's kind of a unique situation when Herod meets Herodias. And Herodias was Philip's wife, who was Herod's brother. So Herod married his sister-in-law. I don't ask me about what Christmas looked like if they brought kids into the family. Because aunt was now mom and mom was now aunt. It's just a messed up. There was messed up relationships in the Bible too. But John the Baptist spoke up against that relationship and said that's wrong. That's not how you should live your life. And the Bible says Herodias nursed a grudge. And let me say something. If you nurse a grudge, your grudge will be healthy and you'll be very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy to nurse a grudge. It's not what you eat, it's what eats you. The third reason we should let go of our hurt is because I'll need more forgiveness myself. Think about it. Don't raise your hand, but if you think there's an aptitude in your life to sin again, you might want to forgive someone else. Because if there's a chance you'll need forgiveness again, you might want to forgive someone else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 says, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not. Say will not. If you refuse or withhold forgiveness from someone else, your Father will not forgive you. Forgiveness is a two-way street. You want to receive forgiveness, you grant forgiveness. In fact, I heard someone say it once this way. When you don't forgive others, you burn the bridge you must walk over someday. When you don't forgive others, you burn the bridge you must walk over. So for the sake of time, let's focus. I want to pivot and focus our attention on the next question. So why do we forgive? And we talked about, but how do I let go of those who hurt me? I'm on geezer right now, maybe you're saying, Mark, I it's very hard. I've got some things right here in the front of my cranium, right here, that takes so much of my energy and so much of my time. How do I get past that hurt? Well, I'm glad you asked. The first thing I must do to let go of those who've hurt me is to relinquish my right to get even. Isn't it amazing how we live in a culture, and I don't want to go down this path because we could be here for a while. I could do a whole series on it. We have a culture where people are so consumed what their rights are. I deserve this. It's like, really? I won't go there. But relinquishing your right to get even. Oh, I have a right. They deserve this. And you know, and we sometimes we operate that way out of resentment. But this is the very heart of forgiveness, is when you relinquish your right to get even. The very heart of forgiveness is when you say, it's not my role to get even. In fact, in Romans, Paul says it this way. Dear friends, anyone here want to be a friend of God? This is you then. He's talking to you. He's talking to his friends here. Dear friends, never, say never. Now, I don't know what never means in the Greek language. I didn't look it up, but I think it means never. Never take revenge. Leave that. Now, that is pointing back to what? Revenge. Leave revenge to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. You might say, Mark, that's unfair. You're probably right. But let God settle the score. You're right, it seems unfair. What happened to you wasn't right. It wasn't fair. It hurt. It cut. It severed relationship. It brought pain into your life. You're right. It's not fair, but it's not your job to get even. Your job is to forgive. It's what God asked you to do. If your job was to pick all the black potato chips off a potato chip factory belt. That was your job. And for a year, not one single burnt potato chip got past you on the belt. You might get your cost of living pay increase, but you probably won't become the president of the company simply because you did what you were asked to do. Isn't it amazing how we think sometimes because we're asked, well, I didn't get even. We're like, I should get a brownie button. I should be. And God's going, I just asked you to do what a servant does. You're just simply doing what you've been asked to do. See, one day God's going to have the last word, friends. One day, God will judge everyone for their thoughts, their actions, their attitudes. At some point, it's appointed once for man to die, and after that, all of us face judgment. How many know that? But in the meantime, let God fill your heart with peace. Well, I can't wait till God gets them. No. How often do we do this? As long as the feelings of revenge keep coming back, how often do you let go? How often do you say, I'm not going to get even? Well, you know, Peter was asking, like, God, if someone, you know, asked me how long, you know, Peter came to ask Jesus, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? He thought he was being very gracious because the law said a couple times. And Jesus says, no, seven, not seven times. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. In other words, every time someone hurts you, you forgive them. Every time there's resentment, you see, it must be continual. It's not a one-shot deal. It's repeated all, every time. It's like, what? But God, at some point, does the hammer not drop? And God goes, that's not your job. Your job's to forgive. See, every time you remember the hurt, you must forgive them in your mind and forgive them once again. See, I always look at it this way. Forgiveness is an act of the will. I choose to forgive. And then it's a process. And then someday it becomes a state where you'll feel like the forgiveness is real. But sometimes that process takes a while. And sometimes that process takes a long while. And sometimes it takes longer than we want. And we live in an instant society where, God, I want to put a broken relationship in a microwave, push a button, and have it healed like that. And sometimes it doesn't heal like that over time. Act, process, God, I turn them back. God, I pray blessings over them. God, and if you don't know how to find forgiveness, it doesn't mean you go to the person and say, you really hurt me. That doesn't always help. I'll tell you another way to do it. Put an empty chair in your room and pretend like they're sitting in your chair, and you tell them right there in the chair what has happened, and then say, God, but I forgive you. Or maybe you write a letter to them and you never send it to them. Forgiveness does not mean you tell them everything they've ever done and how bad they hurt you. At times you do need to. But maybe they're already married again. And if you go and tell them, it makes it worse. I don't know. Release them so you can be free. I heard someone say once, forgiveness is when one person sets another prisoner free, only to find out that they were the prisoner. Said again, forgiveness is when one prisoner sets another prisoner free only to realize they're the prisoner. Release them. Let God take care. The second way we let go of those who've hurt us is we refocus on God's purpose for my life. Refocus on God's purpose for your life. See, as long as you focus on someone you resent, they control you. Say again, as long as you focus on someone who you resent, they control you. And then if you don't release them, you begin to resemble them. I remember, I youth pastor for a long time, and those young ladies would say, I will never marry someone like my dad. And guess what? If you don't release them and forgive them, you'll begin to resemble them. Three steps to refocusing your life. Real quick, three steps. Number one, put your heart right. Release and forgive. God, it's my heart issue. I want to put my heart right. I need my heart in the right place. Number two, reach out to God. Reach out to God. God, I can't do this on my own strength. I need you. You can't manufacture enough forgiveness in your own humanness, in your own frailty to handle the hurts of life. God must fill you daily with his forgiveness. And thirdly, face the world again. Friends, I'm sorry you've been hurt. But please don't use your hurt as an excuse not to focus on what God's called you to do in this world, which is to make a difference. The devil would love to maximize your pain and minimize your future and get you to put your chin on your chest and not to dream anymore. The devil would love if the past represents your pain and your relationship, and that wall represents your past, and some of you have heard me say this before, and that wall represents your future. The devil would love for you to stare at your past and have your back to your future. You say, stay mesmerized on pain. You forfeit the purposes of God that God has for you to impact a world for him. Face the world. Don't withdraw. Resume living. Live again. Dream again. Love again. Forgive again. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late. And the last way I let go of those who've hurt me is I respond to evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. I love what Paul says. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. What good are you doing in the world today? Maybe you've got a lot of broken relationships. And maybe there's a divorce that's hit your world. Or maybe there's a breach in relationships with your parents or your sons or your daughters. And I don't know your story. But I'll tell you right now, if that's part of your story, that means there's some pain in your life. But friends, I'll tell you, the greatest way for you to get past that pain is for you to respond to the evil with good. Let's live again. Let's dream again. Let's serve again. I'll tell you right now, why don't you give to someone else the emotion you want to receive? You want to love again? Love. You want to get past the hurt? Every time I stand in the front and I pray for people on a Sunday morning, I realize, oh my goodness, we're blessed people. You might think my problem's big. You don't understand sometimes the problems other people have. Why do I say, hey, if this message it helped you, would you bring a friend next week? Because there are some good people out there that need to meet the good Jesus you've met. And if you focus only on your pain, you get trapped, and sometimes you don't do the good God's called you to do. Maybe it's time to sign up for a mission trip. Get past the hurt. Go somewhere and love on some people that have it far worse than you. Let's do good. Let's live again. Pastor Gary, our youth pastor, last week I heard this. He had a leaders meeting, and he says, be the person you want others to be to you. I thought, what a powerful statement. Be the person you want others to be for you. Be the leader you want others to be for you. In other words, I don't know what you want the world to do for you, but you be that to the world. You be that. Maybe you're here today and you say, Mark, it's hard to forgive. You're right, it's hard to forgive. But we need to. Not for the other person, for us. At the end of our gathering, we're going to open the altars and we'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Mark, it is really hard. It's easy to hear what you're saying, but really hard to live what you're saying. It's easy to write the notes down, but real hard to think that I could actually live out the notes. But this is what I know. I know this. Maybe there's some of you in here today who've never begun a relationship with Jesus who can forgive you of everything. Here's what I know. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of all of your lives that none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us. And if you don't know, if you died today, will you spend eternity in heaven? I want to help you know the path to heaven. One day, a kid was stopped by Billy Graham in a major city, and Billy Graham's an evangelist who passed away recently. And he asked the boy, hey, son, can you tell me how to get to the post office? In fact, if you tell me how to get to the post office, I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. And the little boy looks at him and says, if you don't know how to get to the post office, you can't tell me how to get to heaven. But here's what I want to know. I can tell you how to get to heaven today. Because we're all going to die and face God. The Bible says, be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. And I know that there's going to be a day of accountability. And knowing you go to heaven is as simple as A, B, C. A, admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. B, believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that whosoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. You have to believe. Believe that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again. And C, confess. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Confess your sins. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here today and you've never admitted you've sinned, you've never fessed up to God, you've never believed in him for your eternal salvation, and you've never said, God, I confess my need for you, I'm going to pray with you right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room? Maybe you're here, you've been looking for hope. You came because someone invited you. You came with someone else. Maybe you've had a hard time wanting to serve Jesus because maybe some of Jesus' people have hurt you so bad. I don't know. But if you've never said, Lord, I admit, I believe, and I confess, I want to pray with you right now. In fact, pray this prayer silently as I pray out loud. Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned. I've fallen short of your plan for my life. But I believe you died for me. You were buried and rose again. You died on the cross to forgive me for my sins. So I confess my sins to you today. Your Bible says if I confess my sins, you're faithful and you're just to forgive me. Please forgive me today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.